Well, good morning, guys, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, July 23rd, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in More About Alcoholism, page 34. First paragraph, it says, as we look back through one paragraph ending with most of them within a few weeks, and we will be commenting on that one paragraph. So today's readers are 12 Steps, Rivka K., the 12 Traditions. I think it's going to be Danny P., Craig F. is reading the text, Colleen M. is reading page 164. Newcomer greeter is Chris W., and our second hour host is Christine G. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, July 22nd, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21590, 21590. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 21591, 21591. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now have Rivka K. read 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rivka.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message, compulsive overeaters, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thanks, Rivka. All right, I will now have Danny P. read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, age. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such has never been organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name has never been drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
All right, so here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Again, we are in More About Alcoholism, page 34. The first paragraph there that says, as we look back through that paragraph ending with most of them within a few weeks, and comments will be on that one paragraph. And my fellow Oki, Craig F., he's going to get us started. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you. This is Craig F., and I'm recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. As we look back, we feel we had gone on drinking many years beyond the point where we could quit on our own willpower. If anyone questions whether he has entered this dangerous area, let him try leaving liquor alone for a year. If he's a real alcoholic and very far advanced, there is scant chance of success. In the early days of our drinking, we occasionally remained sober for a year or more, becoming serious drinkers again later. Though you may be able to stop for a considerable period, you may yet be a potential alcoholic. We think few to whom this book will appeal can stay dry anything like a year. Some will be drunk the day after making their resolutions, most of them within a few weeks. So this paragraph, I believe, is addressing two very important concepts. You know, we often talk about this disease being permanent, progressive, and fatal, or fatal, in my case. And this is talking about the progressive nature of the disease. You know, that when we started out, you know, back when I was a teenager, I could diet. You know, I could diet for a while. In my 20s, I could diet for a while. It always ended, and I got put the weight back on. But I had some control. I can't diet today. I have reached a point. I've progressed in this disease to the point that on my own willpower, I can't go a day or two. Truth be told, you know, I think the longer you practice the disease, the harder that becomes. You know, easier it becomes to just give up, no matter how great a resolution I've made. And so this paragraph is addressing that progressive nature of the disease. But it's also addressing another I think, very important concept. And that concept is the idea that we have to have a complete step one experience. That sometimes we have to experiment. We have to try and find out, can we do this on our own? You know, can we diet? You know, so sometimes if people, we come in hoping for maybe a good food plan or a good group support make it on, but we really haven't had that bottom of the pit experience of saying, of being able to say, I'm powerless over food, my life's unmanageable, and that I, without God, without the help of a power greater than myself, that we talk about step two, that I can't do this. And so this paragraph is suggesting experimentation, if you have to convince yourself that you're powerless. Convince yourself that without help, you're lost. And I think that's a good thing to get my hands around today, is to remind myself that I've done enough experimentation.
That I've tried it.
Thank you. I've tried it a million ways on my own. And never made it. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thanks for getting us started. Okay, so we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible. I'll remind you when your time is up. Please give me first name, initial of last, and where you're calling from. I'm ready.
Anita J.
Anita.
Liz E. UK.
Florida.
Tina S.
Tina S. Who is from Florida? I know you are.
Bonnie B.
Colleen M.
Bonnie B.
Colleen. Tina S.
M. Colleen. Tina, gotcha. Colleen, gotcha.
Blanca B.B., Florida.
Bianca.
Vasa O.
Vasa O. All right. I have Anita J., Liz E., Bonnie B., Tina S., Colleen M., Bianca B.G., and Vasa O. Sounds like a good start, good lineup. If everybody will make sure they're muted, press star one. We'll get going with Anita J. followed by Liz. Good morning, Anita.
Thank you, Kelly. Good morning. This is Anita J., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the state of Massachusetts. I don't know when I crossed over. But when I say crossed over, I mean when I became a vicious eater. I remember binging once, and that word vicious just seemed to come across my eyelids, just passing through, vicious. Like I thought, my God, you should just throw it in a bowl and put it on the floor. The way you can see a dog shaking his head and attacking, you know, a bone or something. So I noticed it, but I couldn't stop. I think the same way a dog. It was a nature in me that got unleashed, and I couldn't put that back in the box, if it ever was. Well, it was when I lost weight as a kid, knowing that I wanted to marry someday and meet Mr. Wonderful and, you know, things began changing immediately on the honeymoon. And so this is permanent and progressive, and something much greater than Anita had to come into my life, much greater than finding Mr. Wonderful. You know, picket fences don't do it. It's not an outside solution, is it? And that's why this book, it just tells the truth. And when I was ready to hear it, I was ready to take these steps and mean it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anita J. from Massachusetts. And next up, Liz E., followed by Bonnie B. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. Good afternoon. This is Liz E. for Elegant from the UK, Southwest England, Bristol. Thank you. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody for your service today. And if anybody's out there and you haven't shared, just press star one. I don't know what I'm going to say, but God's going to give me some words. And I know I need to show up and share. As we look back, we feel we had gone on drinking for many years. Gosh, this really takes me back, this paragraph. This really helps me understand the disease and have sympathy and empathy with other people who are struggling. But it's just utterly, utterly amazing to speaking to fellows and connecting to fellows. And, you know, working this program is the single most important thing I need to do every day. And it is day one every day. I did, as others have said, I did all those endless diets, lost it, put it back on, you know, all the rest of it. Nothing ever got me to a healthy place. But today I'm recovered, and recovered means that I'm working a program day by day, and that it's day one for me every day. And, you know, this paragraph is my story. And I was able to stop for a considerable period. I was able to get into that she dress for a wedding, etc., etc. But I couldn't wear that she dress 6 months later because guess what? And I was drunk again on the food. This, in my opinion, is the single thing that works for me because I have a twist of the mind and a spiritual malady. I'll leave it there. I'll pass. Thanks a million to everybody for everything. Do get in touch if you want to chat. Bye.
Goodbye, Liz E. for Elegance in the UK. Next up, we have Bonnie B. followed by Tina S. Good morning, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. And thanks, Craig, for a beautiful opening. Bonnie B. from Florida, gratefully recovered today. Oh, my goodness. You know, every single paragraph just lights something different within me. And that's why I'm just so amazed when I get on these phone lines morning after morning. This was my story. This is my story. I did think I could stop. I did stop, right? I mean, that's why this is so perplexing. On page 31, and we roll it back again. Here are some of the methods I've tried. That's why this is so hard. Because deep down, I knew that I had stopped. I did stop for a season. But this program requires honesty. And over and over, I end up going back to step one, which is my life manageable in this area apart from God? And the answer is no. It never really has been. But I think the disease wasn't so bad that I was convinced it was out of control. When did it cross over? I can't tell you a day and a time. And that's what makes this, again, so challenging to understand. Because in my head, in my brain, I can tell you all the different diets and all the different methods I've tried and how they did appear to work. My brain wants to tell me you can do it a different way. And you don't have to do it exactly the way it's laid out in the book. But because I have this DNA, my history proves it's something different. And it's the honesty part of this program that terrifies me because it's never the thing. It's never the thing. It's the thing beneath the thing. And this is an emotional trip for me. And so when emotions are opened up, my drug of no choice is food. And so I got to figure out what's going on. And what do I do with it? And all roads lead back to God over and over and over. But man, there's pain in digging up the past, and there's pain in trying to be honest and figure out what it is. It's easier to cover it sometimes, and that's what I did with this food. But in this program, there is no other option. I'm grateful for that, and I think this paragraph drives that home. Each of us, me, I get to figure this out. Am I really of this DNA? And if I am, there is no other solution. And this is a second-by-second game plan for me, because I never know when the emotions are going to sneak up and try to get me. And I do have deep cuts, and I do have wounds, and only God can heal those things. No food, substance, no group, no people, nothing is going to heal it but God. But we have a program that drives us back to God, and I am so grateful for that. And I'll pass with that. And thanks again, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. Next up, Tina S., followed by Colleen M. Good morning, Tina.
Thanks for your service, Kelly. Tina S., covered compulsive eater anorexic in Florida. Yeah, wow, what a great paragraph, and thanks for all the shares. I just so, you know, I love, you know, almost every paragraph in the book I can totally relate to it, and to everybody that is also sharing. You know, and, you know, I'm one of them ones too, you know. We feel I've gone on drinking many years beyond the point where we could quit on our own willpower. And, you know, and I was thinking back, I don't know that there was any time that I could, you know, from a young child, you know. I just had to give in. But I also, you know, did this dieting thing that worked for a period of time. You know, if I'm only taking care of the allergy of the body, sooner or later, the obsession of the mind is going to get in there and take over, because that, you know, my disease centers in my mind, you know, and lack of power is my dilemma. On my own, I can't do this thing, you know, and I love that it's shared, you know, the only solution is the 12 steps for me. You know, I've tried every other way, you know, and it does not work. It does not work. And the good news is that I do have a solution. And when I finally get beaten to a state of reasonableness that, you know, I no longer can do this, you know, I'm in desperate and, you know, ready to do whatever anybody says. That's where I went. You know, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do it. And I do it. You know, I follow the directions and take the steps, and a transformation comes about. You know, that today, you know, I want this thing, you know, and I'm eager to do what it takes, and I'm also ready to give it away. And that's where, it, you know, that's where it helps me one day at a time to stay free. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Tina S. from Florida. Next up, we have Colleen M., followed by Bianca BG. Good morning, Colleen.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. Thank you for taking the meeting and for everybody who's doing service by speaking. Oh, some powerful shares. And this is such a great paragraph for me. Like everyone else has just said, you know, I've been able to, at some point in my eating career, stop for a period of time and diet. But I love what was just said about, you know, if I'm only taking care of the physical allergy, this is not going to work. And the sentence that really I've never read before or never remembered it was, we think few to whom this book will appeal can stay dry anything like a year. And I was like, who's this book? Who are they talking about, this book that we're appealing to? And, you know, this book appeals to the real compulsive overeater. And when it talks to us in the, two chapters from now about how it works, you know, this is what we're going to be willing to do if we have that first step experience. If we completely concede to our inner self that we have this thing and that we're powerless and we need a power, and then we have to go through the rest of the steps. And I've had the food down for many years now, but my thinking is still, you know, it gets me every day. And if I am not practicing these principles and working these steps, then food definitely starts to become an option. And today I know that's deadly. I am definitely one of these compulsive overeaters who I think was shared about earlier. You know, I just don't know if I have another recovery in me. I think the food would take me out, and I don't want to, you know, I want to live this thing on a daily basis, because God has transformed me and making me into the person that that I always wanted to be that I couldn't be when I was in the food. This is definitely for me a spiritual, intellectual and emotional disease, and all of those things have to be treated on a daily basis, as well as keeping my food down. So glad that I'm here and part of this fellowship, and I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Appreciate it, Colleen M. Next up, we have Bianca BG, followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Bianca.
Good morning, moderator. Thank you for your service. Good morning, brothers and sisters in program. Wow, this, once again, it is my story, as so many have said. My eating disorder started at five or six. I had my first binge at that age. And then that's continued on, of course, the addiction growing and growing. And I, too, the way I handled it throughout my life was I eat whatever I wanted. I put on some weight and then dieted away, starved away. But then when I hit my 40s, horror, you know, occurred that it wasn't working anymore. Apparently that inner, that little thermostat or that little lever, whatever you want to call it, broke. And it was no longer, my body was no longer allowing me to drop the weight in a short amount of time. Because unbeknownst to me, as it is to many, that kind of dieting and then starving and of course damage was damaging my body. Many people don't realize that. They think they're getting away with it as I did, but I wasn't, because my body stopped shedding weight. I couldn't do it anymore. And it was horrible. And I was just, I just descended into that black pit of what's going on. I used to be able to just stop eating for a while and it would come off, and therefore the weight started compounding. And I was in my 40s, and of course by the time I hit my 60s, I was deep in disease, and that's when all the physical problems started. So I had to have all my joints replaced, fatty liver, et cetera, et cetera. Today I'm 71 years old. Through the grace of God and the grace of this program, I am still here, while so many of friends and family members died from this disease. I am still alive, and I've been given God has graced me with the miracle of being able to watch my grandchildren grow up and help take care of them, and that's a miracle. Where am I today? Well, I am alive, and that is strictly through the grace of this program and staying spiritually and emotionally and physically fit. Do I have setbacks? Absolutely. But I take it one day at a time. I get back up. And thanks be to God, I am still here. Thanks to OA and the grace of this program. It is a simple program, but it is not easy. And I will pass.
Bianca, that's time. Oh, well, that's Bianca. I think she's from Florida. Before we go on to Vasa, I'm going to let you guys know where we're at. We are in More About Alcoholism on page 34, first paragraph. As we look back through that one paragraph ending with most of them within a few weeks, after Vasa, we'll be taking more names. So good morning, Vasa.
Good morning, Kelly. Excuse me. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa. Grateful. Recovered compulsive overeater calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And yes, could identify every one of you and the reading this morning. And my food addiction didn't kick in till I was 15 years old, till we came in America, and we were introduced with all these foods that they offer, the killing foods that I was putting in my body. And I had gained 20 pounds in 1 month. And my mom was happy because I was a thin child. So I know the really people that make fun of thin people and chubby people and fat people, you know. So I've been on those different sides. So I tried to control the food addiction from 15 to 41 years old, and I had gained and lost hundreds and hundreds of pounds, but I had no understanding that it was a disease, and I had the allergy of the body with the obsession of the mind. I had no clue about any of that stuff until I came to recovery. So I'm just so grateful for my higher power, which I had prayed to help me and show me what was wrong with me and to show me, to give me the sign where God was. Not too long after that, I found the 12 steps, and I do believe that was a gift from God that I was brought in the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. And with all the diets and everything I did over the years, it worked maybe for a little bit, but I always picked that up. And I lost a lot of weight for my wedding, nerves, and probably, you know, also dieting to get into my gown, you know. And I bought, you know, nice outfits to go on my honeymoon. By the time when I came back from my honeymoon, I couldn't even fit in those clothes that I brought to my honeymoon. So for me, it was progressive. You know, maybe I'll lose it for that special occasion. Could be for Christmas, could be for the summer. I played all those games, and none of it worked. So by the time I came to program, I was so willing and ready to surrender. I said, you know, step one, you know, I admitted I was powerless of the food addiction. I had a hard time accepting step with my life and my unmanageability with the other stuff, but that's okay. That was more to be revealed to me. And it is by the grace of God, my higher power, I became abstinent right from that first night. I heard sugar was bad. It was as bad as cocaine. It terrified me, you know. And I was ready, and I was willing to surrender to higher power. Whoever you want me to surrender, I will. The program, the 12 steps.
Also, that time.
Thank you very much for letting me share. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Fossa O from Florida. I think you're there from there. I'm not sure where you're at this time of year. Okay, so we're going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any video, back. So who would like to share on the paragraph today?
2A from Delaware.
This is Larry K. from Chicago.
I got Tim and Larry. Aaron from Michigan.
Did you get Tony B?
No, I did not get Tony B, but I got you now, Tony.
Sue A from Delaware.
I got you, Sue A.
Joshua W.
Felicia D from Rhode Island.
Felicia. All right, I have Sue and Larry. Aaron, Tony, Bajwa, and Felicia. Felicia, good God, I can't talk. Sorry, guys. All right, well, let's press star one to mute everybody, and we'll get started with Sue A. Good morning, Sue. Sue A from Delaware.
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sue A. I'm from Delaware. I haven't shared for a couple months. I've been coming now for about 5 months to the vision meetings, but this paragraph is the story of my life. I came out of the womb wanting more. I was born wanting attention. You know, I was told I was got lost when I was 3 years old and I had taken money and gone down to the corner gas station to buy candy. My first memories are at five, you know, sneaking into the pantry and eating an entire cake that my grandmother had made. I still remember the pantry and everything about it, and gobbling down chocolate chip cookies. I was binging from such a young age, you know, and then I went through the, was it from my trauma? Was it from my this? Was it my parents? Did I not get this? And I spent thousands with psychiatrists. I've been to treatment centers, you know, am I an anorexic? Am I a bulimic, compulsive overeater, orthorexic? I fit in every category. I check off every box. You know, I have done this so many ways, stopped so many times. I would go away on vacation, you know, for 4 months and not pick up. And I would think, I'm a normal eater. I can do this. You know, I don't have this disease. And I'd come back and I'd restrict behaviors, overeat. This is the story of my life. I've never gotten what complete abstinence was. I've never understood, you know, and I can go to the point where I'm 1 ounce over. Okay, I'm breaking my abstinence, you know. I don't have to do things perfectly anymore, you know, on the measurement. All I have to do is be at peace, follow my mood plan, abstain from overeating, compulsive over the behaviors, but I'm in the fourth column of my fourth step working with my sponsor, and it's, you know, it's being revealed. I've been at this since I came in my 20s, and I'm 62. You know, I went to a treatment center at 58 and had to go through the refeeding syndrome for 3 weeks. I almost killed myself. I have this disease. I finally understand because of you guys and becoming here every morning. I tried to come on Saturday and the music came on. I was like, darn, there's no meeting. You know, it's just, this is my life today. I have to put this before everything else. You know, do I do it perfectly? No. But I abstain. I do the best I can. And I just want to thank everybody. I'll pass with that. Thank you, everyone. I don't think I'm on the list. I've tried to get on, but it's Sue A. from Delaware.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Next up, we have Larry K. followed by Aaron K. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Kelly. This is Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. You know, Craig said something very important. It's critical in, for me in this paragraph. He talked about having a step one experience. And that's really important. And you know, what is that? You know, it really entails letting go of excessive pride and entitlement and a need for validation that, you know, perpetuate these addictive patterns. I mean, it's just an acknowledgement in step two. But my ego can show up and how I people please and how I subtly try to control others or stay in charge. And you know, the thing about it is when an individual like me, I don't know about you, but I can tell you about me, when I'm caught in the grip of addiction in step one, my ego becomes distorted and magnified. The ego isn't bad, but it is distorted and magnified. And I feel like I have control over my substance use, or that I'm immune to the consequences, and this inflated egoism can hinder my ability to recognize the severity of my addiction and seek help through the implementation of these steps. And one of the most damaging things that prevents a step one experience is the ego tries to tell me again and again that I don't need others. The hell with you. I've always done life on my own, and why should that change now? And to be fair, you know, with this step one experience, the ego isn't all bad. It has a evolutionary aspect to it, but it's like a wild stallion. I'm not a horse person, but can you envision a wild stallion? You know, when we have a wild stallion, you know, if harnessed correctly, it brings forth action and momentum. And with, you know, if I have authentic recovery, my ego needs to be sort of directed in a purposeful way. But for if you're like me, most of us are far from that when we enter recovery. You know, the ego is what has kept us apart from my higher power. It's kept me apart from my inner self. It's kept me apart from others. It needs to be brought down and right-sized if I want the very freedom promised through the steps. So it's going to involve this step one experience for me. It's going to involve humility. And it's going to involve surrender. We hear that all the time, surrendering control. Give up. Give up the fight. Put down the weapon. Because if I don't, how in the world am I going to have the ability for self-reflection and acceptance and building a support network and embracing spirituality as I understand it? Forget about
That's
it.
Time,
it's not
going
to happen. Thanks, Kelly. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Larry K. from Chicago. Next up, we have Aaron K., followed by Tony B. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Kelly. This is Aaron K., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. Man, good meeting. Gosh, I so need to hear. Every single share is awesome. This paragraph is super important because it reminds me that the amount of time that I may be able to rely on my willpower, whether days, weeks, or even a year until it ultimately fails me, you know, that isn't really a diagnostic sign of whether I'm a compulsive overeater, of whether I have the ism, as they say. What the diagnostic sign is, what is my head like when the food is down? When I think I'm in good shape and when I think I'm controlling it, am I really free or is it still controlling me? How much of my mental energy is spent planning meals, debating, you know, what to eat, counting every calorie, obsessing, planning, should I eat this? Can I eat this? Can I get away with this? How much of this? Just a little bit of this. Does food still tell me where to go, what to do, who to do it with, basically dictate how I spend my time and live my life? Because, you know, for me, I was a yo-yoer, you know, and whether I was on the couch with, you know, a half gallon of fat-free ice cream, with the curtains drawn, or, you know, meticulously counting every calorie and in the gym 2 hours a day, I was missing out on life. The food was still controlling me and telling me what to do. And there is an option C to the A and B that I'm describing here. It's surrender. It is freedom. I don't think this way anymore, do these things anymore. And it doesn't mean that it every day feels awesome. It doesn't. Sorry. In fact, I had a hard day yesterday, but I leaned so hard into my program and I got and gave support and I prayed. And I woke up to call in another day, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Aaron K. from Michigan. Next up, we have Tony B., followed by Vaswa. You're up, Tony.
Hi, thank you. My name's Tony B. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater living in Scotland. And yes, this is a great paragraph, and I really appreciate everyone who's done service and all the shares. So I know I have a problem. When I come in through the doors, I'm looking for help. It's dawned on me that this is like my alcoholism, that I got the knowledge that there is an Overeaters Anonymous, that it's in existence, and I'm seeking recovery. I know that at that stage. Beforehand, though, through my life with my eating, I had a vague notion that there was something wrong, but I really had no idea what. I was able to diet with willpower, but I could never recover from this disease on willpower. And I'm so grateful, you know, I came to the doors and I could put the food down for a while. I got understanding and fellowship here. But I didn't work or continue to work all 12 steps and picked up again, came back in again, put it down again for a while, worked the steps, I'm okay now. You know, I can put my feet up. And the food called again, and I succumbed. And I came back again, and I worked the steps. I continued for a bit, did some service. I prayed. You know, I took a sponsee then. And decided, you know, I don't need all this again. Regressed. My mind took me back. You know, it's just a bit. I'll try it this way. And I think this final time coming back, there was real desperation. And I heard a really strong message. And I think I needed all of those tries and those stops and starts to get a true knowledge of my condition. That I cannot ever put my feet up in terms of working this program. That I must stay desperate and work it just as desperately as I did in the beginning, and actually more so as time passes, needing more and more of the program. And I'm just so grateful that there is a solution, because there was no way I could do it on my own. And with that, I will share the time. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Tony B. from Scotland. All right, Boswa, I know I mess up your name. Can you spell your name for me, Boswa? W.
Hi, this is Ajua W. in Vermont.
Ajua.
Oh, yes. Ajua.
Will you spell
A-D-W,
it?
Yeah, A-D-W-O-A. And I might
Ajua.
Be on the list still
Thank
in
you.
Massachusetts, but I am in Vermont.
Okay. Gotcha.
Thank you so much for letting me share, and thank you for your service, everybody, and especially for the opening share. And some of the more recent shares have been really important. I'm really sharing because sometimes when we get into paragraphs like this and shares like this, it's just really important for me to claim my seat and to name my step one experience again, because it hasn't been of the sort where, you know, I gained and lost in extremes. And I've shared that before. I think the real step one experience for me has been twofold. It's been one, recognizing that whatever is going on with maintenance of my body, it is not the same as maintenance of a fit mental and spiritual condition. And seeing that, you know, having come into program the many years ago, having lost weight and then still realizing my mind was crazy around body especially, but also food. And then losing so much weight that I couldn't sustain a period. So needing to gain that back. But the other thing I just want to acknowledge is, like, man, the step one experience spiritually is something that's really been humbling for me. There was a time in my 20s where God gave me freedom, like spiritual freedom and lightness and peace through and through for reasons I don't know, like abuse in the family stuff, all these things, just free. And there was a lot of spiritual practice that was involved in my life at that time. And I was so prideful about it. I was like, oh, I'm such a good God person. I didn't realize the humility that God was actually giving me a program of life even before I knew anything about 12 steps. And it involved that spirituality. So over time, I started picking up not only like, oh, food's not a big deal, but also things like people telling me that I don't need to do that much spirituality, or it's not self-sufficient, or et cetera. I started picking that up so slowly, picking up degrees slowly, picking up ambition slowly, now watching acquisitiveness in myself. That's my time. All of those things, you know, that's the relapse that is painful and reminds me, well, why even start with the food? If that's a first symptom for me, pull back and get back into my right relationship with God. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Ajwa, from Massachusetts. Next up, Felicia D. And we may have time for one more share for Felicia. Good morning, Felicia.
Good morning. My name is Felicia D. from Rhode Island. And thank you to everyone for the shares. They're really beautiful. What's coming up for me when I look at this is, you know, some of my agnosticism. Like, I wanted to be able to quit on my own willpower because I did not want a spiritual solution. I didn't, like, have a problem with people being spiritual. And I was in another 12-step program, so I had to have a relationship with a higher power. But I think I didn't want to be, quote-unquote, that spiritual. And I certainly didn't want to have my life be dependent on God. At the least, I wanted to be a co-pilot. And I was able to do that with the other and keep the other substance down. So I couldn't understand why I couldn't do that with the food. I couldn't understand that this was a different level of addiction for me. And so I've never been a successful dieter. I'm always amazed at people that have been able to come in here. But when I got to OA at 21 and I started using the food plan, I periodically would have, you know, maybe 4 or 5 months of abstinence and lose like a quick 50 pounds and then gain it back in like a month, month and a half when I went back out. I kept doing the same thing over and over again. I couldn't, without OA, without coming to these meetings and talking to people and having a sponsor, I couldn't go 24 hours without my addictive substances. But coming in here for a couple of decades, I would come in and I would work really hard in the beginning, and then I would ease up over time, getting back into that insanity idea that somehow, because those substances were down, I could now manage and control my own life, and I could co-pilot, and God could be my, he could be my, like, advisor, but he wasn't in charge, and that just has never worked for me, and today, that's not the case, and today, you know, I've released 115 pounds, and today, when I get panicked, because I'm prone to that, I can take that to my higher power. I can do inventories around it. I can call other people and be of service and get out of myself. I can have conversations with my sponsor and fellows. I can write. I can listen to podcasts. I can journal. I can just be quiet and tell God I don't know what to do. And it relieves. It passes. It dissipates. And being stuck in the cycle of trying to be different, maybe I can have this kind of flour. Maybe I can have this kind of bread. Maybe I can eat it this time. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do that. When I'm stuck in that, there's no chance. There's no option. I'm completely enslaved. And all of my thinking is completely around me. My self-centeredness is like a coconut. Nothing can penetrate that shell. And I don't even know what's happening. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
That's time, Felicia. Oh, well, perfect timing. All right, we have time for one more share. Who would like that? Go and take us out.
Herbert F.
All right, you've got 2 minutes, Herbert.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your service. I'm Herbert F. Currently living in a miserable relapse in northern New Mexico. I've been in OA for about 7 or 8 years. It was about 7 or 8 years ago that the disease really started to reveal itself with serious purging and mental obsession, got to the point, all kinds of points, high points, low points, I've done a lot in OA. I've read the book many times. I've gone through the steps many times. I've been a sponsor many times. I've done service many times, but there's two things that I have not done that explain why I continue to suffer in and out of relapse and recovery. The first thing is complete abstinence. I keep on trying to outsmart the disease with certain foods and thinking, no, I could have it. And the second thing is related to that is I haven't really surrendered. And we hear the word surrender a lot, but I'm going to try and tell you what it really means to me and why I have not surrendered and why I'm still eating because of it. Surrender, because to me, the program is, abstinence is cold turkey. I have not been cold turkey, like I said, and I have not surrendered. And what it means to me is that going cold turkey, complete abstinence, means I have to put my complete faith and trust in my higher power that I'm going to be okay that day. I'm going to be okay that day, that my higher power is going to get me through it without food. I just have to trust that and surrender that to God. Right now, what I'm thinking is what I've heard in the program, think your way into acting, not act your way, or what is it? I got it wrong, but you know what I mean. And so I'm walking on the edge of that knife right there, like, come on, Herbert, today is your day. You got to take action. You got to put all that food down. You have to be completely, completely abstinent and completely surrender and just trust that your Creator is going to get you through the day and you don't need food. So today I'm praying for complete abstinence and complete surrender, meaning I trust my Creator to get me through today. And I trust all of you to be there for me like you have been this morning. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Herbert. Keep coming back. Thanks for taking us out. Appreciate the share. All right, guys. So thanks to everybody who shared. We love it. Team Tuesday, go. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, if you want to hear this wonderful meeting again, is 21593. 21593. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the prayer. Colleen M., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, yes, I will. Colleen M., still from Maryland. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.